Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it, said it had thundered. And others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I don't know how many of you have read or seen the stories by stories about Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, there's a character in there that says, I'm going to just quiz question for those of you that have done it. There's one character that routinely has a line and says, oh, why do these things always happen to me? Anybody know?
Rabbit!
Yeah, Eeyore always assumes bad things are going to happen to him. He'll say, thanks for noticing me, when he gets something bad happens. Rabbit always is wondering, why is the bad stuff happening? Sometimes when bad stuff happens to us, don't we identify with Rabbit? Say, why do these things always happen to me? Jesus had the long view, anticipated the cross. And now he's on the verge. I know we've got several weeks till Maundy Thursday, but he's got just a few days before he fulfills his life's purpose. Not just from the time he was born, but it tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, that God chose the Son from before the foundation of the earth. This has been the long plan. Some people have talked about the Bible and they say, well, first God tried this and then God tried that and then God tried family, he tried the law, he tried this, and then after a while he said, maybe I'll send my son. The teaching is, the cross was always in the plan. And now Jesus says, I'm troubled by this. Are you encouraged that Jesus felt troubled? I would think you'd be encouraged, because sometimes when you feel troubled, you feel like, well, if I was spiritual, I wouldn't feel upset about this. I wouldn't feel troubled by the suffering. I wouldn't feel troubled that I anticipate some difficult procedures. I wouldn't feel troubled about that at all if I was really spiritual, if I really had faith. And don't you hate it when you have some kind of trouble and some well-meaning Christian says to you, well, if you just had a little more faith. Yeah, if I had boxing gloves, you'd be out on the carpet. Jesus experienced life and all its hardship. And he said, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? It's everything for us that he didn't say, Father, save me from this hour. It means everything. For this very hour I came. And this teaches us so much about our own attitude towards our own suffering. He said, the suffering that I am going to do is going to be my glory. It's going to be my Father's glory. And you know, when we look at the book of Revelation and we see them, we see the host of people, 10,000 times 10,000, standing around the throne and praising God, praising Christ. What are they saying? By your blood, you purchased people from every language and every people and every nation. The cross of Jesus Christ is his glory, and it is his Father's glory. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that God brings glory to his name when he answers yes to our prayers, and when he does a miracle, and miracles do happen, and we do get yeses, God brings glory to his name. He shows that he can. There's no doubt that he can. But when we pray and God says no or wait, he's also still the same loving, caring God. And we need to understand it. It's our opportunity to bring glory to God through our suffering. Now, you say, I think your knees are pretty good, Russell. Some people have bad knees and they hurt all the time. My knees don't hurt. I have suffering of a different kind. I have a child who has mental illness, and I watch her suffer every day. It's its own kind of suffering. And she's got anxiety and depression. And oftentimes, she'll say, why do these things always happen to me? And it is my privilege as her dad to say, this is so that we can love you. The purpose is, she sometimes in her suffering, she says, you know, I'm not going to be a captain of industry. I'm not going to make a big business. I'm not doing something that everyone would say, oh, that's great. And I say, you're staying alive for your son. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I have, and we have, in the midst of our suffering, opportunity to lift him up. This isn't just theory, and I'm not just preaching for you. This is for me. But we see it in our midst. We pray for those that have lost spouses. And those that have lost spouses, one of the most difficult things that can happen in life, by their life and attitude, it is their shining moment to demonstrate faith in this world and bring glory to God. I know I will see him again. I know I will see her again. I know. And I have this comfort in the midst of sorrow and heartache and pain. I ask that God take away the pain. But I'm sure glad that Jesus didn't ask the Father to take away his pain and his trial and his suffering. I think also of our brother and sister, Lauren and Ethan. Mentors meeting with some of our aspiring pastors on Friday night. And almost every Friday night, I ask Ethan, how are you doing? I do ask how his dad is doing. But I ask Ethan, how's he doing? And he's not just giving me a glib answer. We've got time to talk. And he says, I'm doing okay. I said, what about your housing? He said, I'm believing the Lord is going to supply. And he has an opportunity to model faith, not just to the kids out there. They get a chance to see Lauren and Ethan going through trials. But he's modeling faith to all of us here. It's one of his, I'm sure he'll have more, but it's one of his shining hours that their family's in the midst of strife and hardship, and they're trusting in Christ. Our attitude about suffering can bring great glory to God as we seek to be like Jesus Christ. He anticipated, he knew all along that he was going to suffer. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand it's going to be our lot sometimes too. And let us not be surprised by it. Now, many of you have got a spare tire on your car. Why do they do that? Because they anticipate that you're going to have a flat, the people that make the car. Now, my car has got something that's alternative to a spare tire. It's got some kind of a thing that's supposed to inflate a punctured tire. And something newfangled. And I wish we had a spare tire. Because I've got, every time I turn my car on, a little light comes up and it says, your fix-a-flat is expired and you need to get a new one. And I have called a Ford dealership half a dozen times and ordered one. Yeah, they say, and I never get one. I anticipate that I'm going to need something like that someday. We anticipate, brothers and sisters, that we're going to have problems and hardship. And by our anticipation, we're prepared in Christ Jesus for it. Now you're saying, oh man, I wish he hadn't preached that. I don't know what's coming this week. Some of you will have the greatest week of your life, probably. Wonderful triumphs. Isn't it a joy to be able to rejoice with Izzy that her picture got in a museum? It's a wonderful thing to be part of the body of Christ, because something good is happening to someone every week. And it's a great thing to be part of the body of Christ. Somebody needs a touch from our hand and God's prayer and a blessing and encouragement. And someone this week is going to need you to say, you can do it, hang on. There's a reason for you to live. I visit people sometimes in nursing homes and people that are disabled, and I routinely try to say, the reason we're here is to bless people, and you can still bless people. We know everything that we've done, everything that we are going to do, we can do for the glory of Christ. Think how many songs there are about the cross. This is not tangential or just a peripheral thing. This is central to our faith and central to our experience in Christ. And we think of the great mercy that he showed us, the great love he poured out on us, that God the Father, that he should send his Son for us. Those of you that are parents, I know you've marveled when you come upon John 3:16 and you say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and you think, I wouldn't give my children for this sinful, wicked old world. But God the Father, who we know is strong. You look at the universe and you see he's got awesome power and might. He's made himself vulnerable so that he could redeem us by giving his Son. He's shown us his character. It's obvious his power, but through the cross, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit show love for us. Even though we've broken all the rules, we've broken his rules. It's interesting things about the book of Romans. It says, In the first chapter of Romans, it says, you know, the Gentiles are sinners. And then the second chapter, it says, the Jews have the law, but they don't keep the law. The Jews are sinners. And then it says in chapter 2 also, and the Gentiles who don't have the law, they make up their own laws. And then they break their own laws. It's like the Communist Party. In every place there's been communism, you know, they say, we're going to have a society, and our society is going to, everybody's going to be completely equal. And during the Long March in China, thousands and thousands of young soldiers died during the Long March. And during much of the Long March, Chairman Mao had sat in a litter while the young men carried. And young men would die carrying Chairman Mao, and they'd replace him with other young men. They say it was going to be this equal society, but that was their ideas, that was their law, that was what they said they were going to do. Everybody was going to be equal, but always the party bosses were more equal than everybody else. And we are constantly electing new governments. And it would be a surprise, wouldn't it, if we elected people to a government and they didn't make any more laws? Wouldn't that be a surprise? What people do, they get elected and they're bound and determined, I'm going to fix things. And they make new laws. And they make new laws about the stock market. They said, ah, we saw how those scallywags got around the old laws. We're going to make new laws. Do any of you believe they're going to make laws that are going to actually fix human heart? It's because in this world, people have a bent to sin. And that is the world that Christ shed his blood on Calvary's tree for. You have people who are social justice warriors in our society. And they just want love for everyone, except if anyone disagrees with them. And then it's draw out the knives if anyone disagrees with them. We have, there's a mission organization called Disciple Making Ministry. And when they start with the gospel, they start in missions. They don't start in the New Testament. They start in the Old Testament. And they start right in the book of Genesis. And this is done a lot in Iran, and it's done in North India. It's done where people are closed to Jesus Christ. And they start with the law, and they work through the law. People come to understand what God requires. And by the time they get to the New Testament, they're ready for a Savior because they've been trying for months and months and months to keep the law. And what a relief it is to find that God loves us just the way we are and provided His Son as a sacrifice for us. So we're filled with gladness and worship for the love of Jesus Christ. And we understand our lives are hid with Christ in God, and that we are called by Him to worship Him and to live our lives like He lived His life for us.